and turn them into wells of blessing. Now, those three exhortations are in the book of Hebrews, and they sum up the message of Hebrews that we are to go on, go in, and go through. The new covenant does not end suffering. It does not end difficulties. It does not end pain. But it does mean that equipped with this tremendous promise and power of God within us, we are equipped to take these trials and transform them into a deeper blessing than could ever have been imagined. So these three exhortations are keys for us to understand the new covenant. So let's have a look at the introduction to the book of Hebrews, because the first chapter is, of course, as you can imagine, quite a key chapter. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 1. And let's read some verses here. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. It says this: God, and by the way, who wrote the book of Hebrews? You find some people say it was Paul. Some people say it was Apollos. Some say Timothy, and so on. Of course, I know who wrote it. because the author's name is given in the first word. God. God wrote it. So now there I'm on safe ground, aren't I? Whatever happened, whoever did write it, whose ever hand wrote it, we don't know. But we know who inspired it. God wrote it. Now, so here we've got this, maybe you've got another translation. You've got the right translation, I hope. God is the first word in your translation, I hope, yes. God. So, and that's how you find, if you look across the page at Philemon, it says the first word there is Paul, by the way. You see Paul, a prisoner, he's the writer. And that's what they did in the old days. They used to write the name at the top of the author at the top. In English letters, I think, you know, probably the same, you've probably got the same habit, we've probably got it from us. We sign our letters at the bottom. So if you've got a 50-page letter, you have to go through to the back page to find out who wrote it. I once got a letter from Charles Wesley. You've heard of Charles Wesley? I once got a letter from Charles Wesley. You don't believe me, do you? He died 200 years ago. How did I get a letter from Charles? Well, it's because the person who wrote it wrote the letter, then he quoted a hymn of Charles Wesley, and at the bottom of the hymn he wrote Charles Wesley. So I was going through the letter, came to the last page and found out, who wrote this? Charles Wesley. Well, that took a long time to get here. Anyway, we're in Hebrews, and God, verse 1, who at different times and in different ways spoke in times past to the fathers, the patriarchs, by the prophets. He has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Who is this Son? Well, he's appointed him the heir of everything. By him, he created the ages and the worlds. Who? Being the express image of his person and upholding everything by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels said he at any time, you are my son, this day have I begotten you? And again I will be to him a father, he will be to me a son. And when he brings in the first begotten into the world, he says, and let all the angels of God worship him. Of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. But to the Son, he says, this is God the Father speaking to God the Son, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You, O Son, have loved righteousness. You have hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the works of your hands. They shall perish, but you remain. They all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture you shall fold them up, and they shall be changed. But you are the same. Your years shall not fail. But to which of the angels did he say at any time, sit on my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who shall be heirs of salvation? And now just the first two verses of, verses of chapter 2. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every sin and disobedience received a righteous reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that heard him? Now, here you've got this phrase in there in chapter 2, verse 3, this little phrase, so great salvation. Now, when we hear the gospel preached, we hear the gospel of forgiveness, and that's wonderful. But really, at some point as we go to hear the word of God preached and taught, at some point we should realize we are being offered so great a salvation. There is something about this message that is so deep, comprehensive, so powerful, so all-encompassing, that it covers all the problems of man and offers to man a life on a totally different level, in a different dimension. This is God's great salvation. It's not the great danger we're in, and the reason we're doing this course, the reason I'm here on this course. I'm not here just because I like to do things on a Thursday evening. The reason we're here is because God wants us to enter into the fullness of this salvation. And many times we discover these things are not known. They are almost like hidden parts of God's agreement, almost forgotten. When you go back to the Old Testament, there's this time in the time of Josiah when they were cleaning out the temple, and they were cleaning out the temple, and then one day Hilkiah the priest, they found a copy of the Bible. Now I realize it was only part of the Bible, but they found a copy of the Bible. And they found it in the dust, in the rubbish, in the temple. And they brought the copy to Josiah, and they said, look what we found in the Bible, in the temple. And they read it out to Josiah, and when Josiah heard it, he tore his garments. He said, we are in trouble because we have neglected God's word. Neglected it to the point of leaving it in the rubbish. The reason we're looking at this subject is because the glory of the new covenant really can so easily be neglected. The real reason we're here is because we insist Christianity is not a touched-up version of the law of Moses. It's different to what was in the Old Testament. It's radically different. It's new. The blood of Christ is not like the blood of those animals. They symbolized forgiveness of sins.